The Perplexing Habit of Falling. 1. The Attraction of the Ground. In the beginning, there were torrential rains, and the world dissolved in puddles, even though we were well into the nuclear age and speedier methods. Constant precipitation drenched the dry point of the present till it leaked a wash of color all the way up to the roots of our hair. I wanted to see mysteries at the bottom of the puddles, but they turned out to be reflections that made our heads swim. The way a statue's eyes bring our stock of blindness to the surface. Every thought swelled to the softness of flesh after a long bath, the lack of definition essential for happiness. Just as not knowing yourself guarantees a life of long, lukewarm days stretching beyond the shadow of pure reason on the sidewalk. All this was common practice. Downpour of sun, flood of young leafiness, a slight unease caused by sheer fill of body, running over and over like the light spilled westward across the continent, a river we couldn't cross without our moment, barely born, drowning in its own translucent metaphor. The silence, which matted my hair like a room with a window shut too long, filled with your breath, as if you didn't need the weight of words in your lungs to keep your body from dispersing like so many molecules over an empty field. Being a woman, and without history, I wanted to explore how the grain of the world runs, hoping for backward and forward. The way sentences breathe, even this side of explanation. But you claim that words absorb all perspective, and blot out the view, just as certain parts of the body obscure others on the curve of desire. Or again, as the message gets lost in the long run, while we still see the messenger panting, unflagging, through the centuries. I had thought it went the other way round, and was surprised as he came out of my mouth in his toga without even a raincoat. I had to lean far out the window to follow his now unencumbered course, speeding your theory toward a horizon flat and true as a spirit level. My legs were so interlaced with yours, I began to think I could never use them on my own again. Not even if I shaved them. As if emotion had always to be a handicap. But maybe the knots were a picture of my faint unrest at having everything and not more, like wind caught in the trees with no open space to get lost, a tension towards song hanging in the air like an unfinished bird cry, or the smell of the word verbena, or apples that would not succumb to the attraction of the ground. In a neutral grammar, love may be a refrain screamed through the loudspeakers, a calibration of parallels or bone structure strong enough to support verisimilitude. A for sale sign in red urged us to participate in our society, while a whole flock of gulls stood in the mud by the river, ready to extend the sky with their wings. Another picture. It is called love or nerves, you said, when everything is on the verge of happening. But I was unable to distinguish between waves and corpuscles because I had rings under my eyes, and appearances are fragile. Though we already live partly underground, it must be possible to find a light that is exacting and yet allows us to be ourselves, even while taking our measure. Although you are thin, you always seem to be in front of my eyes. putting back in the body of the roads my thoughts might have taken. As if forward and backward meant no more than left and right, and the earth could just as easily reverse its spin. So that we made love to each other, the present of a stage where time would not pass, and only space would age, encompassing all 2 million dramatic situations, but over the rest of the proceedings, the increase of entropy and unemployment. Meanwhile, we juggled details of our feelings into an exaggeration which took the place of explanation, and consequences remained in the kind of repose that, like a dancer's, already holds the leap toward inside turning out. Your arms were embracing like a climate that does not require being native. They held me, responsive, but I still wondered about the other lives I might have lived. The unused cast of characters stored within me, outcasts of actuality no stranger than my previous selves. As if a word should be counted a lie for all it misses. I could imagine my body arching up toward other men, in a high-strung vertigo that scored a virtual accompaniment to our real dance, deep phantom chords echoing from nowhere, though with a force of long acceleration, of flying home from a lost wedding, stakes and mistakes, big with sky, with bracing cold, with the drone of aircraft, the measures of distance hang in the air before falling in thick drops. The child will be pale and thin. Though it had infiltrated my bones, the thought was without marrow. More a feeling that might accompany a thought, a ply of consonants, an outward motion of the eye. I began to long for respite from attention, the freedom of interruption. The clouds of feeling inside my head, though full of soft light, needed a breeze or the pull of gravity. More rain. As if I suddenly couldn't speak without first licking my lips, spelling my name, enumerating the days of the week. Would separation act as an astringent? Ink our characters more sharply? I tried to push the idea aside, afraid of losing the dimensions of nakedness, but it kept turning up underfoot, tripping me. Clearly, the journal would mean growing older, flat, tiredness, desire out of tune. Much practice is needed for two-dimensional representation, whether in drawings or rooms, and it emaciates our undertakings. In the way that lack of sleep narrows thinking to a point without echoes, the neck of the hourglass. You may be able to travel fast forward without looking back, but I paint my lashes to slow the child in my face and climb the winding stairs back to a logic whose gaps are filled by mermaids. Many questions were left in the clearing we built our shared life in. Later, sheer size left no room for imagining myself standing outside it, on the edge of an empty day. I knew I didn't want to part from this hole, which could be said to carry its foundations as much as resting on it, just as a family tree grows downward, its branches confounding gravitation and gravity. I wanted to continue lying alongside you, two parallel, comparable lengths of feeling, and let the stresses of the structure push our sleep to momentum and fullness. Still, a fallow evening stretching into unknown elsewheres, seductive with possibility, doors open onto a chaos of cul-de-sacs, of could-be, of galloping off on a horse in the picture. And where to? A crowning mirage or a question like, what is love? And where? Does it enter with a squeeze or without, bringing, like interpretation, its own space from some other dimension? Or is it like a dream corridor, forever extending its concept toward extreme emptiness, like that of atoms?